This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, December 13th. Welcome to the WBBM Afternoon News Hour, Business Hour. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got partly sunny skies right now. AccuWeather says we'll have a high temperature of 42. Right now, it is 42, and occasional rain and drizzle will keep you updated on that throughout the day.
And the markets have dipped into negative territory. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob and Chris, we've got some pressure. China's ambassador is calling the arrest in Canada of an executive of Chinese tech company Huawei, quote, a premeditated political action orchestrated by the U.S. And he writes in the Globe and Mail that it's hypocritical to criticize China for detaining two Canadians. That came 9 days after her arrest. So the back and forth continues on trade with China. The Dow down 33 points, NASDAQ lower by 50, S&P is down about 10 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by 0.75%. First-time unemployment claims fell to a 12-week low last week, 206,000. Economists say the labor market is still healthy, even after job creation in November fell shy of forecasts. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, economic numbers and a mention of a recession, not very soon, but a mention, and an online trending platform takes on the big banks.
And then Apple is getting into the health business in a big way. They're hiring up doctors. We'll talk about that coming up right here on the Noon Business Hour, which is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A startup firm that is making waves in stock trading is expanding into banking, and we're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, the threat of a partial government shutdown looms, and let's discuss what it could mean for the economy and the markets with Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Gus. What kind of impact could this have on the economy?
It's not going to have much of an impact on the economy at all. We've been through government shutdowns before. Some of the data will be delayed. You may see a little bit of extra volatility in stock prices, but in terms of having an effect on GDP or employment or anything like that, it's not going to matter.
No problem with the national mood?
No, I mean, I think we have seen somewhat of a weakening in confidence lately, but I think that's more tied to geopolitical concerns more broadly. And even if confidence does drop in the wake of a government shutdown, it would come back quickly once the shutdown's over.
So what areas in the economy right now are you especially interested in? What are you watching?
A couple things I'm watching. First of which is we did have a bit slower job growth in November, and then we did have a little bit higher initial claims for unemployment insurance. Those actually came down last week, and so it's looking a little bit better there. But question is the job market softening a bit? I don't think that's a big concern, but certainly something that we're watching. And then we've also seen long-term interest rates come down. So the interest rate on the 10-year Treasury has moved back below 3%. That's an indication that perhaps investors are concerned about longer-run U.S. economic growth, and so that may be a signal of weakness in the economy, not in the near term, but let's say over the next few years.
The headline on the says economic optimism plunges, but the survey of Americans' outlook on the economy, when you actually look under the hood and into the numbers, it's not sunny so much as maybe there's a couple of high clouds on the horizon. Obviously, people are keeping an eye on the volatility of the stock market, but the employment numbers are still good. All of the economic reports suggest the economy is still doing fine. Is there one data point, if that starts to look negative, where you could say, all right, now there's an actual downturn coming?
I think a couple things to watch, one of which is retail sales. So I think this is going to be a very good holiday season, but are consumers still out buying? So as we get to early 2019, do we start to see some softness there? And then what's going on in the labor market? You know, we're still adding on average 200,000 jobs per month. That's well above what we need to keep up with underlying growth in the labor force. But if we do start to see job growth slow in 2019, then that could be a signal that the businesses are becoming more cautious, and that could cause concerns for the economy.
In fact, CNBC put out an article and wanted feedback from finance chiefs around the country, and about 82% who answered said they think a recession could begin by the end of 2020. This is not an unusual kind of forecast, is it?
No, I am expecting softer growth in 2020, so we've been getting a lot of fiscal stimulus from tax cuts and spending increases, but that's going to fade towards the end of next year. We have higher interest rates from the Fed, so I do think that economic growth is going to slow in late 2019 and in 2020, but I don't foresee an actual downturn, an actual recession in the economy.
With, let's say we do get to a slowing down portion or a recessionary period of time in the near future, does the United States government, does the Treasury Department have the capability to pump stimulus into the economy, having passed the massive tax cut almost a year ago?
It's going to be pretty difficult. We've had a big tax cut. We had a big increase in spending. We're heading towards a $1 trillion deficit over the next year or two. And, you know, given the fact that the economy is in good shape now, that does mean we would see much larger deficits during a downturn. So that could constrain the federal government. Fortunately, you know, we have seen the Federal Reserve raising short-term interest rates, so they have room to be flexible and cut rates in response to a recession. But I am concerned about a fiscal policy response, the big government deficits could make that more difficult.
Well, thank you very much, as always, for the insights. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Coming up, a growing stock trading platform is now incorporating checking accounts into its app.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The upstart online stock trading platform Robinhood is now offering checking and savings accounts. And joining us now on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Julie Verhage, who is the technology reporter at Bloomberg, based in New York. Julie, welcome to the program. Tell us a little bit first about what Robinhood has done in the world of stock trading before we move on to its banking product.
Right. So one thing that Robinhood has done since it was founded roughly 5 years ago was garner roughly 6 million customers at this point by offering stock and now options and crypto trading free of charge for customers. You know, typically you go to another brokerage and you're going to get charged something like $4, $10, maybe something else. They've been able to do it for free. They do that by making money on the deposits that they have, as well as selling order flow, which a lot of brokerages do. And now they're expanding off of that. The goal of Robinhood was always to be more of like a one-stop shop for all of your financial needs. So now they're offering their version of a checking or savings account. But there's a little bit of a catch to this, too. So since it's a brokerage, they're going to be offering this through the brokerage arm, and it'll be, you know, they'll be investing the money in short-term treasuries, other things that are perceived as safe investments. And it won't be FDIC insured, though, which is really a key difference because that has, you know, the full faith of the government behind it. This is secured by the SIPC instead. And there's a few key differences there that I think, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily going to be aware of when they're moving money over. They're just going to see this very enticing 3% interest rate that they're offering and not notice that, like, there's a big difference behind the scenes.
Well, 15 years ago, when I would graduate from college, somebody was really talking up the benefits of putting all of your money in ING, because that was the first totally online bank. They didn't have any physical real estate or assets, and they could pay higher yields as a result. What's the difference between Robinhood and the old ING Direct?
Yeah, so I'm not super familiar with exactly what they did, but I would assume that they were, you know, they either had a banking license or they were partnering with banks where it was FDIC insured, and that's really the big difference here. You've seen others in the market Social Finance or SoFi is one that started out as a lending platform and now offers something called SoFi Money. And it's not a bank, but it partners with banks. So it just quickly flows through SoFi and then gets deposited at one of those banks that it's partnering with and thus is FDIC insured. Robinhood, the big difference is that it is not going to a bank. They're holding it in their brokerage and it does not have FDIC behind it.
Okay, so that is what customers aren't asking about, but you have that part of this deal.
Some of
you're
them
skeptical.
Are. They haven't been super clear about the differences on there too. So I think a few are going to sign up for this and not completely realize what they're getting themselves into. And I should be clear, like, there's a very good chance that it's fine. It's just, you know, if things really collapse or something, there's that question there. And I don't know that I want that even just tiny percent chance that things go awry if I'm depositing a lot of money over there.
It looks like volume has been one of the biggest parts of this company doing well.
Yeah, so they have, they're one of the fastest growing brokerages out there, which isn't necessarily that surprising given that they offer free trading. You don't have to go pay someone to trade Apple or Google or whatever else you might want to be buying or selling. But the thing is, that's made a little bit of money for them, but they really, in order to grow and scale and become profitable, they're going to have to branch out, and they're making the big bet that by offering new products, the customers they have already garnered on this very little revenue generating option are going to come use the products that will generate revenue for them.
Well, thank you very much for the insights. As always, Julie Verhage, who is the technology reporter at Bloomberg, based in New York, still ahead in Technology Thursday. Apple looks to incorporate more health into its devices.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets now with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, all three of the averages in the red now. The Dow down 4, NASDAQ lower by 50 points, or 0.75%, and the S&P falling 9 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is falling 0.5%. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross tells Bloomberg China will need to do more than what it's promised so far to ease trade tensions with the U.S., while welcoming China's plan to once again buy U.S. soybeans and potentially import more liquefied natural gas. Wilbur Ross says the Asian nation will need to do more to end the impasse. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
And China did buy beans from us today, but beans were down 14 after they bought them. We're down 9.75 in January right now after being unchanged. Wheat's been up 11 to 12 on its high after the low of only down up a half. And corn's been up 1 to down 2.5. So mixed at the board of trade, beans leading the way down, wheat leading the way up. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
It's Technology Thursday. Apple is growing its business in health tech.
Also on the technology beat, there's backlash on some fronts against self-driving vehicles.
Aldermen are reacting to Mayor Emanuel's comments about bringing a casino to Chicago.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 28 points. The NASDAQ is down 41. The S&P 500 down 5.
Mostly cloudy this afternoon. Better than yesterday. Occasional rain and drizzle tonight and tomorrow morning. Right now, we've got 40 degrees at O'Hare and 39 at the lakefront. Expect 36 overnight tonight. WBBM News Time, 12:31.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are hovering near the flat line at this hour. We're joined by John Beaver, president of Phase 3 Advisory Services and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates based in Buffalo Grove. John, welcome to the program. As we wind down 2018, it's December 13th, Christmas less than 2 weeks away. When does the Santa Claus rally kick in, or has it already happened?
Rob, good question. We're all asking that same question, and we're looking around, and we don't see it yet. We really have a bit of an ADD market here. It's been going on for a little while. Doesn't know what to focus on, doesn't know what to look at, and so apparently doesn't see Santa Claus just yet. We started off this morning with GE trying to do some heavy lifting, but that has given way here as we reach the midday.
How easy is it or difficult is it from a psychological perspective to uncouple the twists and turns and volatility of the stock market, which is based on a variety of factors, from the actual economy itself? Because you're starting to get the sense, based on some readings of consumer confidence, that people are starting to internalize what's happening with the markets as a broader indication of the economy, even though the economy itself seems like it's chugging along just fine.
Exactly right. This problem is difficult not only for investors but the professionals too. What does the market focus on? Is it going to be a hard Brexit or no Brexit? What's going on with the ECB? They left rates unchanged, but they're going to stop their quantitative easing program. What will the Fed do next week? They're talking about backing off next year. Their dot plots have been coming down. We've got the Mueller investigation still hanging out there, possible government shutdown. And then people look at their stock portfolios and they look at the year here and go, maybe we're down a little bit, and they're not feeling really good about it. So they're being driven by this tug on their psychology. There are some positives out there, though. So the market did wake up on the right side of the bed this morning with GE. J.P. Morgan analyst Stephen Tusa changed his opinion on GE and said, you know, maybe it's not time to sell anymore. Maybe just kind of hold on. Things are changing there. We're seeing that there's optimism on the China trade, at least today. Inflation is still under control. PPI came in at 0.1% on Tuesday, CPI 0.3. So we're still moderating there in the 2-2.5% range in those two areas. So inflation's not a concern. We still have some stimulus coming in from the government, so albeit it's deficit spending, but some deficit-financed fiscal stimulus. So those are things that are positive, and yet the market is starting to grapple with the possibility of a 2020 recession. What's going on with the yield curve? Are we going to inflate? I mean, are we going to invert? And we have the technicals that are still negative. So it's very difficult for investors to know what to focus on, and that's why it's important to have a disciplined plan.
I just saw a piece on CNBC in which asking Americans about the markets and about the economy. Mom and pop pessimism is the highest in 5 years, according to that. But let's talk about what are you looking at based on what the economic news is, what the trade news is. What are you looking at as possible good investment right now?
So, Chris, you mentioned that market sentiment. That's important. That's actually one of the things that we look at. And the latest survey showed the bullish view at about 20%, the bearish view close to 50%. That's a pretty extreme reading. So we do look at market sentiment, first of all, to see where are things at. And we see this as a contrary indicator. So when we have extreme bearishness, it might be time for things to change. So that's one thing that we look at. And then, of course, we do look at valuations. But it's important to know where we're at in the economic cycle. And this has been a long run here. So it's normal for the market to take a pause. And we are in a correction. Correction is at least 10%, can go as high as 20% on the downside, and still be in a bull market, a rising market. So we have one of these corrections on average about once a year. In the last 10 years, this is only the fourth one. So we're overdue. We could have another year of this sideways action. So where do we look for this? Well, we see the market a little overvalued. We know that we're in a period of time where we could consolidate for multiple years. So we want to make sure we have enough cash. And when we advise investors, it's important that they have, at this point in time, at least the next 5 years worth of needs in safe positions. So money that's needed in the next 5 years does not belong in this stock market. And if there's extra money that can go in, then it can start to buy.
So if, in fact, 2020 is a recession, you said a mild recession, how do you prepare for that?
So, again, you make sure that you have at least 5 years' worth of your needs on the sidelines, not in the stock market. That money does not belong in the stock market. If you don't have that money set aside yet, you're too invested in the stock market, you have too much exposure there, then I would use each rally, even a small rally like we had this morning, as an opportunity to trim and take some money off the table. We're in this range, and that range could be 10% higher or even 10% lower from where we're at right now. So it's having that cash and short-term bond position, which is so critical, that then allows the investors to get through this volatility without panicking.
John, great to have you on the program today. Thanks for joining us. John Beaver is president of Phase 3 Advisory Services and registered principal with Royal Alliance Associates in Buffalo Grove here in the Chicago area. Up next, Technology Thursday, Apple makes a commitment to health.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. Apple has quietly been hiring doctors as it works to develop and integrate health technologies to its watches, iPads, and phones. We're joined by Matt Mategan, its CEO at Blue World Asset Managers in Chicago. Matt, what do we know about this?
Well, a lot more than we knew last week, and I couldn't get Andy to agree to make this a 40-minute segment, so we'll try to get through it. It's difficult to express just how mind-boggling it is what they're doing. What's getting the most attention is the technology they're putting into the Apple Watch that just, you know, this is no longer theoretical. They got FDA approval for this, which is a very, very big deal. And they're putting EKG sensors into the Apple products, into the Apple Watch. And not only can it take an accurate EKG, it will immediately go up to the cloud and be able to be transmitted to the doctors. Now what all this means, heretofore, the consumer-based health tech focus has been largely on fitness. It would tell you what just happened. So it was backward looking. Now what we're talking about is technology that can actually grab real-time healthcare, hard healthcore data, like an EKG, and not just gather it and send it, but also include diagnostic interpretive value, which is absolutely extraordinary. Especially when you consider what's required right now for an accurate EKG, a minimum of 8 leads, sometimes 12. And the forward-looking applications of this to be able to detect latent disease and actually provide therapeutic options and management is, to call it revolutionary would be a gross understatement.
I mean, on the one hand, Matt, this is another example of Star Trek technology being sped up by about 300 years or so. On the other hand, we've had a number of stories about data privacy and breaches at hotel chains and other social media outlets. So how can we as patients be assured by Apple that our medical information will remain secure if the iPhone and iPad are constantly keeping tabs on how you're doing and then sending it to some central source?
Well, I think the answer is, and I think the answer is well proven right now, we can't. There's a lot of bad folks out there that are also staying in front of the curve and trying to find ways to grab this information. And extraordinary measures are taken to protect it, but as we've seen, it may not be completely secure. So I'm still a proponent that the advances in this kind of technology and the benefits to the consumer in general far outweigh the risks, but there are acknowledged risks.
Matt, what are the doctors thinking about this?
I mean,
this is where they work.
There's a tremendous amount of resistance out there right now, and that's to be expected. I mean, it took a whole lot of field proof plus a very successful early 70s TV show before the doctors would even accept the validity of paramedics out in the field. This is that same sort of thing. Doctors are highly skeptical, and even more so based on the potential liability associated with receiving data and diagnostic information in this way. So it's like anything new. It's going to require some time to prove it out and win the confidence of those most dependent on it.
Well, keep us updated. This is a very interesting, exciting. Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. You'll find his blog at blueworldam.com.
Cashing in with conversation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, not everyone is thrilled about the arrival of self-driving cars, which may take a lot longer than some people are predicting. Joining us now on the International Auto's Orland Park business line is Jeff Gilbert, who is the CBS News auto reporter based in Detroit, Michigan. Jeff, welcome back to the program. So let's go to California, where a Waymo self-driving van and other self-driving vehicles have been the targets of rocks. People have slashed their tires of these self-driving cars, and one guy actually brandished a gun at a self-driving car. So what's prompting this robot road rage in California?
Well, I don't know if it's just California. I know there have been a few incidents where Waymo's been testing in Arizona as well. And, you know, there are always people who are unhappy with new technologies. What I find really interesting is the reports of collisions involving self-driving cars. This came out earlier this week that there are an extraordinary number of rear-end collisions involving these automated vehicles where the human driver is at fault, but the human driver really has trouble anticipating what the automated vehicle is going to do. So can humans and robo-cars coexist?
So this isn't a case so much of people throwing their wooden shoes into machines to stop automation 200 years ago. This might be a case of people getting angry at self-driving cars that may be too cautious.
Angry or a little bit confused. I mean, if you get to an intersection with another person, you're sometimes waving somebody along or they wave you along. You make eye contact. You know, there's a lot of nonverbal communication going on and trying to figure out what the other person is able to do. It's kind of hard to do that with a robot or let them know what you're doing. So a lot of this, a lot of the problems we've seen have been confusion between automated vehicles and human vehicles.
Jeff, what do you imagine looking down the street 10, 15 years from now? What will we see?
Yeah, it's hard to really figure out. Nobody is giving a date on when you or I can go buy an automated vehicle and it'll drive us anywhere. Everything we're hearing about in the next couple of years is going to be limited to areas that are heavily mapped and heavily monitored. And there is a big leap between the technology in these limited areas and something that can help us go anywhere. And everybody you ask in the auto industry, when will this happen? Answers with the same question. I don't know.
Well, perhaps the drivers or the driverless cars will be equipped with the people that we were just had on our last segment, because we're watching the med part of all of it and the health part.
Right, and exactly. There is also things like monitoring health information, things of that nature. And there's a lot of driver assist technology that's coming that can help you and me be better drivers, that can maybe help us brake a little faster and miss an accident or help us stay in our own lane. There's a lot of safety technology coming that will save lives well short of full automation.
Well, Jeff, there's been a lot of discussion about how they are programming the artificial intelligence that operates the self-driving cars, how they can make decisions. And if people are coming at them with rocks and bottles and guns, maybe the AI could develop an obscene gesture program to actually give it back to some of the humans that are causing it problems.
Well, you know, I've seen cars with LED screens, and you can put whatever you want on those screens.
None of which we Good can point. Say on the radio. Thank you very much. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News auto reporter based in Detroit. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Baird. And here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 30 points, or about a tenth of a percent. NASDAQ lower by 39 points, or half a percent. S&P down 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by 0.2%. Trade tensions continue to pressure stocks. China has now detained two Canadian citizens following their arrest of a Chinese telecom exec in Canada. And administration officials, including Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, are signaling that China will have to do more to end the tariffs war. Investors are getting crafty, or at least they're putting more money into crafts businesses. Over the last 12 months, the market value of Etsy has nearly quadrupled, and an online wholesale startup for handmade goods called Faire, F-A-I-R-E, has already drawn more than $100 million in investments. And Netflix is investing heavily in creating its own shows and movies, and researchers say it's on the right track. A study by TV analytics firm Parrot Analytics and Kagan finds Netflix originals will be more in demand than licensed titles by October 2019. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.